This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
We're giving away tickets to the Summer of Loud Tour in 1 hour at 4 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny. The show's being brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. Get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Debo Samuel wrote a piece today in the Players Tribune. It was very lengthy. It was mostly to San Francisco fans and discussing his time with the 49ers. But there was a graph on coming to D.C. that I want to read to you guys. He says, DC, we coming. I think this is one of the best possible fits for me where I can go in and help a team. Honestly, when my agent asked me where I wanted to go, this was one of the teams at the top of my list. I started watching Jaden because of Ayuk. Remember, Brandon Ayuk and Jaden Daniels are good buddies. That's like his best friend. We used to chill, watch LSU games, and I knew he was going to be a stud. I've got some connections already with the coaching staff. Definitely ready to work with Terry for sure because we came into the league at the same time. I've heard how hard he grinds. I'm just ready to match that energy and get to it. He says, S, I got a feeling this season is about to be one of them ones.
Now, I asked the young people, and that means he believes he's going to have a good season.
Yeah, one of them ones, by definition, just means this will be a season.
Like, it's a bold prediction that there will be a football season.
Right. This will be one of the seasons of all the seasons, but he doesn't actually mean that. One of them ones is a way of saying, Danny, since you know this is not your parlance.
Right, right.
He's basically saying this is going to be a really special year.
I believe I will have a productive football season is what that proclamation is
it's
there.
It's going to be one of them ones.
One of them ones, I think.
You know the social media thing now where like somebody scores 35 and they go, oh, he's one of those ones.
Now, I don't know that, but I believe you.
I mean, it shouldn't happen.
Right.
And if I could touch a button and make it stop happening, then I would touch that button. But it happens.
Yeah.
And we either kind of get used to it.
Roll with the punches, yeah.
Or we just yell about it and shake our fist at the sea.
Yeah, I mean,
the waves are going to keep crashing.
Well, you and me, today's show is one of them once. You can tell me it's not?
No, it's definitely. It's one of the shows that we've done.
You can't tell me that it's not. So.
As far as hosts go, you're one of them once.
Right. You know my friend Grant Paulson? One of them once.
Now, are you complimenting me by saying I'm one of the best, which is how it's supposed to be used? Are you quite literally just saying that I'm one of the people that does the job?
Yes.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I would appreciate the compliment, but I will accept the literal definition as well. One of them once. But what do you think? I mean, he's saying that he's been watching Jaden Daniels since college because of Ayuk. He is a fan of Terry's, and they know each other because they came out together. He's talking about the familiarity with the coaching staff, which we haven't really talked about because it's mostly just been the Adam Peters, Debo Samuel linkage that we've discussed. And this is one of the teams that he wanted to go to, which, look, you could say that and no one's going to
I can't prove you're wrong.
Call you a liar. But I actually believe that. Why wouldn't he want to? They're 11th in the NFL PA polling. They've got the quarterback everybody right now wants to say nice things about. They're coming off of an NFC Championship game appearance. Of course he would want to be here.
If you've got to leave the Kyle Shanahan nest of offensive creativity, there are a handful of places where I'd go if I cared about football, if I cared about more than just my money, just assuming, right? But if I wanted to be maximized and in a prove-it year where I'm trying to make as much as possible, Kingsbury would be on the list for me of I could scheme that guy open. I just watched from afar a really good offense, a really good team scheme open De'Ami Brown, Noah Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, dudes that are, you know, Jamison Crowder and company catching big passes, as bottom of the barrel in terms of receiver level as was in the league, and it was for an elite offense. So I would be chopping at the bit. So that part I actually kind of believe.
Yesterday on the show, we were talking about the Deebo Samuel edition with a few of our different guests, one of whom was the ESPN analytics guy, Seth Walder. And he talked about, among other things, you know, that there's a legitimate floor to this deal that he does not like. And one of the reasons why is what else Washington might have been able to do with the money. I think for the most part, you and I have just looked at this and said, do we like it or not, based on what they gave up. And I don't know how you couldn't when it only costs a fifth and it's a one-year contract for a team that wasn't going to spend all of its cap space and had tons of cap space anyway. They might as well have just walked around handing it out, throwing it in the basket at church because they ain't going to be using all of it. So they throw 17 and change at Deebo. They give up a fifth-round pick, and you and I are going, sure, this is worthwhile, no problem. Walder's saying, you can't look at it that way. You have to look at this from the perspective of what else they might have been able to do with that money.
I think about the opportunity cost here of you got this prime window of Washington, and he just played a season where he had 670 receiving yards, playing for like maybe the best offensive scheme creator in the league. And he's never been a super volume guy. He's like a four reception a game guy. And that's always been kind of the case for him. And, he's you have run plays in there too. So that, he's getting the ball in other ways, but I'm just saying, like, I think you could, there's a low floor. Like, to me, that's a low floor. And if it doesn't work out, I think that the problem is that's just like, that's a real big missed opportunity. It's not just fifth round pick of $17.5 million. That's
meaning that you could have, like, in other words, I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
You could have Devontae Adams.
DK is the exact same number. Like, let's just say they could have gone and gotten DK for a fifth maybe and the exact same cap number.
Exactly. And so I think that's the risk, really, the opportunity cost.
That's Seth Walder of ESPN. He's one of them ones. So the question then that we've got to ask is, Deebo Samuel at the price you gave him, or in a world where other guys are comparable, like DK Metcalf, and we just don't know what is the trade compensation. It might take a four. It might take a three. You never know. I think because he's got $31 million left on his deal and someone's got to take on $18 million in cap space, we just saw that Washington gave up a five for Deebo. DK's a little younger and more productive, so that it's at least a four. I would think maybe even a third-round pick. But would you rather have, knowing what you know now, Deebo at that cost, or let's say DK with a late third and...
And a $32 million cap hit.
Well, no, but the cap hit's 18. So it's $31 million for Seattle, but the number that the team will inherit is closer to 18, read yesterday. They've got to pay some. I don't know how it works, but basically that's his cap number for Seattle. But you understand what I'm saying? So would you rather Deebo Samuel, fifth-round pick, $18 million, or say DK Metcalf, third- or fourth-round pick, and around $18
million? I think it's narrowly DK Metcalf for me. But not by a lot.
So does that make you feel any differently or no? Because
no.
Bird in the hand.
Bird in the hand.
There's no guarantee you can make that trade.
That's
or that
my
they
point.
Want to make that trade or that another team doesn't give more.
Right. So I got this one. I won this sweepstakes, right? And I'm willing to do it because it makes sense for me at this point. It may not make sense for a lot of teams. It makes perfect sense for me. Two guys in my wide receiver room. One was a quarterback an hour ago. The other's Terry McLaurin. I need more weaponry. So is he a running back? Yes. Is he a receiver? Yes. Is he a slot guy? Yes. I've solved a bunch of different things, creative-wise, with this one player. I would love a traditional, quote-unquote, number two receiver that has an elite skill set doing certain things. Metcalf is a deep threat to me is the whole point. He's not there to shake you down, not there to break ankles and run crisp routes. He is a big, strong freight train that goes deep as good or better than anybody in the sport. That's really valuable to me. I want that too. But you know, if I've got to choose either or, just the fact that this is done now and you're not entering into some sort of extra layer of competition with folks from Metcalf. And let's say you didn't do Deebo Samuel and you go, you know what we're holding out for is DK Metcalf. And it turns out four other teams are. And he doesn't like Washington, D.C. for whatever reason. Or he's not one of the guys that watched Jayden Daniels with Brandon Ayuk. Or for whatever. Who knows?
I think that's a part of the problem. Is when we talk about these trades, we view them almost in this fantasy football world where it's about the draft pick and the money. And if it's equal, then you could have just done this exact same thing. Maybe not. You know, maybe the Packers or the Steelers come forward and DK Metcalf prefers to go there, and so Seattle ships him there because the compensation is really similar. Or maybe because he's actually more productive and a little younger and has seemingly less of a regression here recently, maybe just more of a market. And now, even though we think we know the value, there's a bidding war and it goes up. I just don't think we can look at it in that same vacuum when we're talking about one-to-one. Now, the exercise is still a good one from Walder, who's a smart guy at ESPN, in saying what I don't like about this is you could have used that money in another way. That's always true. You could use it on a D tackle or a D end or a wide receiver. And he's saying I'd rather basically still have that money and the possibility to see what else shakes free. Maybe that's paying Christian Kirk or trading for Devontae Adams before he got cut or now signing him. Again, I'm not interested in Adams, but my point is he's going, knowing where Deebo is right now in his career, I'll take the unknown and the chance at striking on something I like more than Deebo Samuel. But Danny, I don't think this was a Deebo versus DK thing for them. I don't think it was a Deebo versus Adams thing. I think this was a, hey, I really know Deebo Samuel. I have a relationship with him. I like him. I will bet on him. And he wants to come here, by the way. He likes our quarterback. He knows some of our coaches. He knows me as a general manager. I think this was a fit, and I think the price was right, and so they did it. I don't think they went to the store to buy cereal, and then they were choosing between four boxes of DK and Deebo and Devontae. I just think, you know, basically they were walking out of the store, and someone's like, hey, do you want this? And they go, actually, I've always liked that one. Yeah, we'll take that one. Walder and other people are looking at this like they were going to spend $20 million on a receiver and give up a fifth-round pick for someone, and they chose Deebo Samuel. I don't think that's how it happened.
I agree with you. And I think ultimately, and I said this yesterday after Walder was on, I'm going to read the next thing he puts out because like, he comes at this like completely passionless. There's no rooting interest in his formulations, calculations. He's looking at numbers. He's looking at data. And for the data inclined, you would go, this move makes a little bit less sense than maybe door number two or door number three, some of the unknown, where you could maximize dollar figures here, there, and everywhere. And I'm going, normally, I think that person, not, let me rephrase that, that guy needs a seat at the table for me. I always want the analytics guy to go, I just plugged in the calculation, and here's what I came up with. Thank you for the information. I could either follow it or not follow it based on some well-thought-out criteria. And I'm sure that's happening in Washington now, whereas it wasn't before. It was Bruce's gut. But now, I'm basically sitting here going, what we need and what's normally worth it to us is going to be a little bit different. And what I mean is, we've got extra salary cap space, fewer draft picks. We've got a dire need at a given position. It's, you know, $20 million on a receiver versus $20 million on a middle linebacker aren't equal for us in terms of needing to improve our roster. So the idea that you were going to take that, I'm just calling it $18 million, and spend it on something that might be a you know, better above replacement spot in terms of, you know, expected points added at a different position, the value isn't necessarily there for the team that didn't have a receiver that needs more playmakers to help their quarterback. You know what I mean? So the value to us, because we were desperate for that receiver, is more valuable than, say, a defensive tackle who would occupy the same salary cap space.
I'm just going on record to say that I don't view it as they chose him over Diggs or Keenan Allen or whatever. Like, it's not like they had decided one of these guys is definitely coming in here. Which one is it? And then Deebo became the guy. I don't think you'd strike first if that's how you were doing it. I think you'd let the market develop a little bit and kind of see where it went between all those receivers that are 31 or 32. Adams, Diggs, Allen, Cooper, Brandon Cooks, you know, whoever else is in there. But to me, this was the stars aligned, guy they knew, guy that wanted to be here on the cheap, as opposed to maybe a similar offseason to last year, honestly, where they go out and they get, I'm just going to make up some names, but like they bring Crowder back, and then they bring in Van Jefferson, and Alamide Zaccheaus is back, and they go get River Craycraft or Sterling Shepard or, DeAndre Carter or Juju Smith-Schuster or something. And they just kind of piecemeal it together. I think that's absolutely part of the options, and I would take what they just did over that. But I think this is at least interesting to pose on the phones, even though it's not exact and it's not one-to-one. But DK Metcalf, who would cost a similar amount against the cap, you would have given up at least probably one round more valuable draft pick, and then an extension or 1 year of Deebo Samuel with the potential of ultimately keeping him around if he's really good. Because the extension, I think, is a lock, too, for DK wherever he goes. I don't think DK Metcalf's going somewhere and someone is taking him on at 18 mil and not extending him based on his age, and there's some predictability there with his game, as you said. To me, that screams extension, and he's asking for one, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's a better pick, similar money, a little bit more, but similar, we'll say. It's a wash. And then an extension. But you have DK Metcalf now for the foreseeable future for a few years.
You got a really good complimentary receiver.
Or what they did 1 year for Deebo. Which would you guys have rather done? 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067.
So as I said, to start it, it's narrowly DK Metcalf. Assuming both are available, I can go to the shopping market. The shopping market? Or am I 1,000? I can go to the grocery store.
The supermarket, and you'll take out your pocketbook.
Oh, I've got a coupon for that. I'm going to pay by check.
And then you'll have crisp $1 bills, and you'll count out your change.
One, two, let me start again. 10, 20. It's narrowly Metcalf, just because I value that skill set so much. I think we underestimate that sometimes. Even if it's not as productive in a given game, the ability of the guy to go deep, to win those contested balls, to run past people, I think that skill set is A, valuable to have in and of itself, but it also scares the hell out of people. I want that. I think it's more room for then ultimately what Kingsbury wants to do, which is the underneath, which is working quick, which is short drops, the hitches, the crosses, the shallow stuff, throws quickly out of the backfield, getting the ball to the quarterback's hands. I think every once in a while, you got to be able to show that you can go over the top, and that's as good as anybody right now in the sport at doing that. So there are going to be years where you go, what happened? He only had 967 yards. It's because they played enough games where enough people are going, we're not him. We're not letting him go over the top to beat us at this point. And he can still do that at an elite level. So it's narrowly Metcalf, because I'd be into having him and McLaurin as my 1 and 1A for the next 4, 5, 6 years. Maybe 6 is too much, but I would do that.
One of the best sack getters in the NFL over the last couple of seasons is going to be on the trade market. His team is telling him to go find a trade partner. And he's younger than Joey Bosa. Is this someone Washington could be interested in? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny, taking you up to 6:30. Remember, we've got those tickets to the Summer of Loud Tour at 4 today on The Fan.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
But he has been really good.
Pressure from Hendrickson, and he finally got there. 27 protected for the moment, and that moment is gone. Trey Hendrickson comes in.
That's Joe Buck and Mike Tirico on the call for ESPN and NBC respectively this year. Trey Hendrickson getting to the quarterback, something he's done a whole lot of. 35 sacks the last 2 years. That's 35 sacks, 17 and a half each of the last two seasons, led the NFL in sacks for Cincinnati. Now, people sleep. He was at the Saints for 4 years before he was in Cincinnati for 4 years, but he was a really old rookie, and I didn't know that. So he is actually 30 years old. He'll turn 31 at the end of next season in December. So I actually would have thought he was 28, but I'm wrong. He's 30. He was a 23-year-old rookie.
Yeah, he had that breakout season his final year and his walk year with the Saints, and I think a lot of people were kind of going, yeah, okay, buddy. I'm sure that's not real. Cincinnati took a leap and were rewarded. 14-8 down year, but 17.5 each of the last two seasons. A whole mess of sacks for Cincinnati. 57 sacks over 4 years. That is cleaning up.
Now, he is due to become one of the highest-paid pass rushers in the NFL. We just saw Max Crosby get an amount of money that obviously Trey Hendrickson is not going to get, but resetting the market to some extent for a guy who is rushing the quarterback off the edge. Hendrickson's made 4 straight Pro Bowls. He finally made first-team All-Pro. He finished 2nd in the Defensive Player of the Year chase, with Crosby not 100% healthy, you know, ahead of him this past season. And he hit the quarterback 36 times. 36 is a ridiculous number. I'm going to give you guys just a couple of comps so that you can make that work in your head. Dante Fowler, the best pass rusher here, who had 10.5 sacks, had 14 hits on the quarterback this year. Dorrance Armstrong, who Washington paid about $10 million a year to come in from Dallas to be their top defensive end this year, had 14 hits on the quarterback. Trey Hendrickson this past season hit the quarterback 36 times.
So those are, you know, those
basically are like the combined total of Washington's, you know, four rushers.
And that's what I usually consider. So one of the things that I look at an awful lot when we talk about pass rushing is quarterback hits, because that means, are you in the neighborhood? And whether you got the sack or not, the process was there. You beat your guy, you're in the backfield, you touch the quarterback. Sometimes it's an extra beat and he holds the ball and you get a sack. Other times you go, what's wrong with John Allen? Why didn't he only have three sacks? Well, you get 20-some quarterback hits that year. You replay it again, he'd have eight or nine, and that's what happens the following year. So usually, you look at some of the league leaders, and they're in the mid-20s. This year, he would have led the NFL in almost any other season, but Zach Allen in Denver had 40 quarterback hits, which is astounding, which is ridiculous for a guy, again, that only had 8.5 sacks. So the point of the dude's story is, this is a consistent, winning pass rusher. Not quite on the level of that Myles Garrett, even Max Crosby, every play is ruining everything for you, but as consistent and workmanlike and technician as they come, like, that is an effective pass rusher that I was always wondering the whole time. We're trying to do a long-term deal for Jamar Chase. We really want to do a long-term deal for T. Higgins. How are they going to pay everybody? I think here's the answer. They're not.
Yeah, I use PFF for counting stats, pressures and things like that more than anything else. Their grades can be helpful, but are subjective. And so when you start talking about those, I think sometimes people start covering their ears and don't want to, you know, hear what you have to say. But I love the counting stats on pressures, and this guy has lived among the top of the league for the last couple of seasons. Now, 30 is probably the new 28 in terms of available players and age, in the sense that at that position, you can age pretty well. We've seen guys like Bruce Smith or, you know, Reggie White or others, you know, play deep into their 30s and have some success. I don't think it's the end of the world like we talked about if Joey Bosa had a more healthful history. Or even Khalil Mack, who had a 17-sack season at 32 or 33. It's not crazy to see a guy have a really strong season with production into his 30s. So Hendrickson is someone I would be interested in, but this is big game hunting. This would cost draft picks. This would cost a massive cap number. No, this would be your move of the offseason and maybe your move of a couple of offseasons. And do you want to put all those eggs in that basket? Again, 35 sacks over 2 years ain't nothing. You want to look for a 17.5 sack season in Washington's history, you're going all the way back to Dexter Manley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those numbers don't exist in this organization's modern history. Nobody's done it. So he's the real deal. He's a great player. And it's not like it's just sacks, as we're pointing out. It's TFLs. He had 35 the last 2 years. It's hitting the quarterback.
Pressures,
it's constant
the whole thing.
Pressures. Yeah. Like, he is a real legitimate pass rusher. If you look at total pressures this past season, he was not at the top of the board among the edges, but he was right there below the number one spot. So, color me very intrigued, Danny.
Yeah, Pro Football Reference, for example, has him at number one. Pro Football Focus might have him at two or three. The point is, that's the company he's in. Effective pass rusher. There's no other way around that, right?
Jared Verse of the Rams, 1 at 89. Jonathan Greenard of the Vikings, 84. Trey Hendrickson, third, 83, same as Myles Garrett in terms of the number of times he pressured the quarterback. I want to dive in and try to find in the break here how often he's doubled and chipped, because while Sam Hubbard, who just retired, was a really good D tackle, he was a little bit of a one-man wrecking crew in terms of, you know, all-pro talent on that defensive front. They've, you know, brought in DJ Reader, and they've had some different guys over the years that have come and gone. But for the most part, I would imagine he's getting to work occasionally against some doubles and getting chipped.
You think so?
And he's still putting up those numbers, which is the sign of a pretty elite player.
Yeah, and this is, again, an offense and a team that was behind a lot. They were, you know, losing and slinging it and throwing it all over the place. They couldn't stop anybody. And you want to blame him for that? As they had a hand in a bad defense? Sure, I'm happy to have that conversation too. But, you know, you're think about how many times you're trailing and teams are running on you and you're still putting up those kind of pass rushing totals. That's usually reserved to me for, like, that Dwight Freeney role where, Dwight, do not play the run. We don't care. We're going to have a lead, and they're going to be throwing it, get after the quarterback, and you can just get upfield most of the time. That's usually what you have to do to get to 17.5 sacks. You can play honest and play straight and play true and get 10 if you're pretty good, but to get to 17.5, you usually have to cheat the process a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to stay at home on this run. I might bite on this play fake because the next time I'll be upfield and I'll be able to, you know, to make the tackle in the backfield. You don't have to play as assignment sound, but to be at 17.5, given the fact that they're probably trailing a whole bunch and teams are running, that's even more impressive to me.
Trey Hendrickson's going to want to get paid. This is why he's become available and why the report is that the Bengals are telling him to go get money, because they just tagged T. Higgins, who they're keeping around at an expensive rate. It's the second tag, so it's 120% of what he got last year. And they got to sign Chase. They can't pay Chase long-term and tag Higgins with Burrow already having broken the bank and also pay Hendrickson. So they're also a little bit of a fun experiment here, in my opinion, in terms of paying all of their guys on offense and appeasing their quarterback who says, I'm not choosing between my two favorite receivers. You're keeping both of them. Because Burrow came out, and I mean, he really took it to the front office publicly in a press conference and said, prove it to me. You know, show me how serious you are. I want Higgins and I want Chase to stay. And the easy follow-up is, so you don't want Trey Hendrickson then, right? Or is that what you're saying? The defensive end with the 17.5 sacks. But you can't pay everybody. That's where they are. This past year, 1 year, $21 million was basically what he signed. So he, as an extension, so he's now on the books for $18.6 million this season. I'd have to look into if he was traded what the cap number would be. But no wonder why that guy wants to get paid. He just watched Max Crosby get what he
got. That might have been an accelerant, you would think.
And he's making less than $19 million with 1 year left on his deal. In terms of guaranteed money, he's going, hey, agent,
hello.
We need to go get 100 plus mil and guarantee $55 million of it to me right here and right now. Bengals said no? Fine, then we'll go somewhere else.
You are Grant Peters, great jawline, incredible hair. You look awesome on camera. You've already answered questions. You've told every reporter that's a great question. Use their first name every time because you have a high EQ. Somebody in private asks you, hey, Grant Peters, come on, man. How far are you willing to go to sign Trey Hendrickson? What's the max deal you'd offer? Best and final. What is it?
Contract-wise? I mean, I would make him one of the highest paid defensive ends in the NFL.
Can there be a three in front of it to start? AAV?
Sure. I don't think there would be. I don't think I would do that. But, I mean, if that's what it takes, yeah, go get a great football player. Here's what's interesting. We keep talking about age. And, like, Joey Bosa is basically the same age as him, and I'm going, he's old. Well, he gets hurt all the time. Hendrickson's been healthy. But because the cap keeps going up and up and up and up and up, teams are not allowing these free agents to walk to the same extent. So a lot of times when guys shake free, it's in this way. It's they're now available for trade because I've paid too many guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not after their first contract at 26 years old anymore. So we will have to recalibrate a little bit of normalcy in terms of like what you expect from the age of a player coming in here. If you're looking for a 26-year-old who can get you 14 sacks, that guy's probably not coming available this era of football. It's probably going to be a 30-year-old, or there's going to be some baggage. I can get you 12 sacks, but I'm coming off an ACL. I can get you 14 sacks, but I can't play the run. I can get you 13 sacks, but I've only played 9 games in the last 2 years. That kind of stuff is going to be happening more and more and more.
I think so.
Because teams are just not letting their own guys walk.
Especially at premium spots, right? That's the, obviously, quarterback, but then you go wide out, offensive tackle, defensive end / pass rusher, havoc wreaker, and to a degree cornerback. Although the cornerback market's pretty decent this year. But this is one of the premium ones. I mean, just look at how these guys have gotten paid over the years. Max Crosby just signed the richest non-quarterback deal in sports history. Or not sports, football history. So there you go. I mean, that's the new paradigm. So you've got it. Something exceptional has to happen. And in this case, it looks like it has with Burrow, Higgins, and Chase. That's your triumvirate. So they're going to have to figure out a way to build the team probably without some of these other high-priced stars that might be on the market here before too long.
Here's what I would do. I would offer him a 4-year extension at $26 million a year. $104 million. And I think that would get it done. That's what Montez Sweat was looking for, if you remember. And because he's not in his 27, 28 seasons, you know, you're 30. You're going to turn 31 this football season. I think a 4-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
With that kind of money, $104 million, and I'd be willing possibly to guarantee him the first 3 years of the deal, or close to it. Like, instead of just...
You're like a $75 million in guarantees?
Yeah, instead of like $52 million, I'll guarantee you close to 70, like a $65, $67 million, so that you know you're going to probably be here for 3 years. I don't know why that wouldn't get it done. I would go at 27 if I had to, $28 million. My ceiling's probably 28. Like, you say, would I do 30? No, probably not. I don't think I would need to. But in the 25 to 27 range, I think, is the sweet spot. And if the market's really rich, because Max Crosby might have just ruined everything for everybody, you know, okay, maybe 26, 28, something like that. But I'd try to avoid $30 million a year. But you got to take advantage of this quarterback. Who was it that said that to us yesterday? Was it Charles Davis? I think it was CD at the end of the show yesterday when we were asking him about wide receivers. Hey, they've got Debo in the fold now. Would you keep pushing? Do you think they need another wideout? He's like, yeah, of course. Do what you can. You got the quarterback, man. Go try to win a title. And by the way, we keep asking this old, young, like, what should they be looking for? Are we okay with it? They don't seem to really go young in free agency. The monster under the bed here a little bit. What's a better reference than that? The scary thing nobody talks about, I think, sometimes with this team, there's not that much really, really good young talent because of how bad the drafts were.
This is the point that I'm hammering,
I'm not going full house of cards here, okay? But you have built this thing. It's kind of a paper mache build that Jaden Daniels is like holding up with his arms and legs in all directions. And if he is Mahomes, Burrow, one of those guys, Allen, Lamar, then nothing matters and you'll just be good every year and no one needs to. We could just stop doing the show. Let's talk about the Caps or the Nats because they're always going to be good. But the young talent, when you compare it to the Green Bays and the Detroits and the Minnesotas, I'm thinking playoff teams from last year, and Philly or whoever, it's not the same.
No, it's not.
So do you try to go, you know, go solidify that, which is a multi-year project, or do you just push some chips in a little bit and go, we accidentally got here. Let's just keep going this direction until the bottom falls out.
Yeah, this is kind of the drum I've been beating, I would say, when some of these more veteran guys come up. And it's I don't want to all the time just go, oh, he's 33, bring him over. You don't want to just keep doing that because, as you said, it's a hamster wheel, kind of a dead-end road for a short-term thing. It's by its nature short-term when you sign someone to a one-year deal or a two-year deal or whatever. But that's point one. But then column two is, the window is open. I have so little young talent already in-house.
Thanks, Ron.
I've got to fill it somewhere. And all the Martys, fare thee well. I hope you get great gigs. But just stop influencing who's on my roster, please, and thank you.
Let's look for young stars other than Daniels on this football team. I'm just looking at, I'm rattling off the starters on the depth chart. McLaurin, Samuel, Zacchaeus, Coleman, Allegretti, Biadasz, Cosme, Wiley, Ertz, Daniels, B-Rob. I mean, Daniels is the only one on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Young is what? Sub 27? 26 isn't young, but I'd even grant that at this point. That's like going into your second contract age. I'm not putting Cosme on that list after last year coming off an ACL. Are you?
No.
Like, if we're talking studs, he's good. I don't know if he's a stud. Fowler, Payne, Allen, Armstrong, Luvu. I'll kick Allen off and put Newton in, who I like but isn't on that level yet. Luvu's really, really good. I would say he's a stud. He's not young. You know how old Frankie Luvu is?
28.
I'll take the over on that. What's Frankie's age, right? He turns 29 this season, I guess, right? I mean, that's not a young stud. Igbinogheni, Lattimore, Quan Martin is a really good player at safety. Stud? I don't think so.
Nice player. But the point stands.
So Jaden Daniels is... how about Sanristil?
There you go.
I'll give you Mikey Sanristil as a true linchpin, building block, standout young kid on his first contract. That's two. Are we missing anybody?
No. Nobody that you'd go star. I mean, they have players that fit that bill, but that's kind of the point here, is you need that, and let's get that. Everyone should be in favor of finding that, but you only have so many draft selections. There's only so many free agents, and your point about guys, you know, leaking free at 25, 26 in the prime of their careers and being a dramatic talent upgrade, I don't know how many of those guys they're going to be at premium spots.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll do for a double play next. We'll get you that. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And in 20 minutes, we've got those concert tickets to Summer of Loud right here on the Fan. So I don't know if you were team Jordan Schultz or team Ian Rappaport in the big fight last week at the Starbucks, but Jordan Schultz is reporting that the Commanders are among several teams who would be interested in trading for Trey Hendrickson, according to his sources.
Hello there.
If and when he hits the trade market. The Bengals and Hendrickson have been having negotiations, and they are granting him permission to seek a trade, it sounds like. But he is linking the only team he named. This is the same guy, by the way, for what it's worth, who came out on Deebo Samuel and said that the top suitors were Washington and Houston. And then the next day, the Commanders had traded for him. He is saying that the Commanders would be one of the lead teams interested in Trey Hendrickson. And while they were one of two teams he named for Deebo Samuel, they're the only team he's named so far for Hendrickson.
How about that?
So that's not nothing.
That is a point of interest. Again, nobody's saying anything's done, but there's a lot of things that could happen. I'm interested. I'll give you a sixth-round pick and $8. I express interest. We don't know. It's still formative, but still, that is a telling thing right there that Washington at least would have that kind of fervor for the move.
It is time for our double play. We do it every day at this time. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. The double play brought to you by your local Honda dealers, driven to you by your Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in, get a peek at the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. For my double play, Darius just came back from the cafeteria with what appears to be a lunch that he either made himself or heated up for himself. I'm not really sure. So I thought we could do an impromptu "What are you eating?"
Oh, it's been a minute.
With
sure,
producer Darius Stamron. So I saw there was some pizza, but there was also some meat in that little tray. Did you make this, or is this like something you buy and heat? What happened here?
I made dinner last night. I made pastaroni, which is like some angel hair pasta, as well as some lamb, and then I made chicken thighs. Now the chicken thighs I made for today to eat today. The lamb I made for last night. Lamb chops.
Love lamb. Danny incorrectly doesn't like lamb.
Do not like really? Yep, wow. Do not like it. Yep. I'm 0-5. Five times everyone's over talked to me about how great the lamb is, and I was like, this is below replacement level. I've not enjoyed it.
I had pretty awesome lamb chops last night.
So is this like phenomenal. A cappellini? Like the really, really thin noodle? Like the when you said angel hair pasta?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Very, very thin. Kind of got like a cheesy base to it. Yeah.
And what kind of snoss are we working with there?
Snoss?
Yeah, like what is there a snoss on it or no?
On the pasta or the...
On the pasta.
On anything.
No, not on the pasta. On the chicken, thighs were marinated in mesquite marinade.
I like
it's
that.
Like a barbecue with some pasta.
Yeah, but the pasta is very, like bland then? It's like out of the box, just cooked and wet noodle, but nothing on it?
It's Parmesan cheese angel hair pasta.
Okay.
You're right, there you go.
I'll accept
that. That's what you're looking for. Okay.
And what are you drinking with it?
And I'm drinking a wild cherry Pepsi.
Oh, bottle or can?
Out of the can. We poured it into a cup, though, with some of that new ice and that ice maker.
You've seen the new ice,
haven't you? Let's hear it for the ice machine.
That ice maker is just unbelievable.
Every single day I've been packing my lunch. I come in here. I get a cup of ice. I pour my Coke Zero right into my cup of ice. What a treat it is.
I've been trying to find an excuse to use the cup of ice.
Now, I'm going to ding him 5 points on the wild cherry Pepsi.
I'm going to ding him more than that.
I don't like wild cherry. Coke's better than Pepsi. There are unbelievable quantities of Coke products about 40 feet away from where he's sitting right now. So the wild cherry Pepsi choice is the wrong choice.
Now, do I get points for bringing it from home and saving myself money?
You do not.
No, because it's also available for you to purchase in other venues. You see what I'm saying? This isn't the only Coke vendor.
Also, it's
around.
Not called "What are you saving?" It's called "What are you eating?"
Right.
Right.
All right,
so
you got it.
You would get points if this was an economy podcast. For your efficiency at saving money.
Like my lunch was a 5 today. You know what I mean? Like I brought it from home and it was sad. But I saved money because I brought it from home, but it was sad.
Well, it's been really long if Danny's grading it a 5 because we use the 20-80 scouting scale around these parts.
Yeah, I'm saying it's below a 20.
You're going
It would get cut from its JV team.
I don't think that's the 20 is as low as it goes.
It's below the scale.
You have pasta, you have a meat,
yes.
And you have soda. Is there anything else you need to tell us about? How much ice did you put in the cup?
I would say 1/4 of the cup is ice at the bottom.
It's very small crushed ice, so that's probably a little light. Mm-hmm. Generally, that's a perfect amount.
That's right around where I like it with that ice.
But a little closer to half, because these are very tall. Did you use one of the white paper
cups?
Yeah,
one of the white like coffee cups.
It's not enough ice, because this ice is going to go quick in that soda.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ding him 4 more points there. All right, I think I'm ready. Do you have any questions for him?
No, I think I've covered it. It's the sauceless pasta and how he reacted to the fact there's no sauce. He's like, Parmesan cheese. I was like, well, yeah, but what sauce? That gives me some pause here in terms of a grade. That's a 40 lunch for me. The chicken thighs are good.
40? Yeah, chicken thighs, man.
They're very nice, but on flavorless pasta, the whole thing doesn't...
It's not flavorless, though.
It doesn't fire. It's like I've got barbecue pasta, a barbecue chicken, and some pasta in the same dish. We could have separate dishes. The whole thing doesn't make sense to me.
This is definitely a 50-grade lunch. This is an average lunch.
We'll take that.
I will accept it. Had you have had a Coke Zero, it would have been a 55. Had you have had a Coke Zero and done a little more with the pasta, we'd be looking at a 60. Also, I don't like the tray that it's in. Very bothered by that tray.
It's like a meal prep tray.
That Hendrickson's fine for me. I think that Turner works, but I don't really care that much
Hendrickson
about it.
Hendrickson makes me think, and I don't have any problem if you were doing this, but like when you buy a food to heat up in the microwave, it comes in that tray. You made this. Like, you should get credit for that. This should be on a plate, or this should be in some kind of a Tupperware case or something like that.
It's like a meal prep Tupperware. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
A mill, like Sam Mills?
No, like a...
Meal prep. What is meal prep? Like where people... Oh, I see where they like do the steel and stuff.
Yeah, it's like the whole mill, like right around Pittsburgh.
Steel mill, yeah, absolutely. Clary, what do you got?
I just like to say that I actually did not bring you guys in lunch. I had you guys come over to my home, and I cooked you a fresh meal with chicken thighs, and you both loved Clary casserole. And I just want to say, Darius did not offer that for you guys. I think Darius is a little afraid of Clary casserole. I think he's intimidated by my Clary casserole. I think we want to have a cook-off on the show.
First of all, I'm as confused as Darius. Darius's palms are in the air. He's going, what is he talking about? This seemed like a crowbarred in opportunity for Ryan to talk about Clary casserole.
Well, I think he wants
seems
a throwdown.
Like it's unrelated completely.
This is a Bobby Flay style throwdown. He's basically challenging Darius directly. I think he's still butthurt about the whole stadium thing.
Okay.
And his loss of the weather report on our program.
Would you guys like to have a cook-off for the show next week where we see who does a better job?
Well, next week would be tough because you guys will be in Florida, but maybe when you guys come back.
We're here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Monday through Wednesday?
I think we could do that. We can make that happen. We have a blind competition where we bring in separate dishes. We don't say which one is which. We have the three of you try it out.
Toby, would you like to make something as well for the lads? Maybe all three of you could compete. Let Toby in on this.
Sure, why not?
What are you going to cook, Tobes?
Panda Express.
You're going to pick it up? I think that's cheating.
I think it might win, too.
Yeah, it would definitely win.
He's so good.
I can assure you that. All right, so you're cooking something. You'll bring it in.
Let's do it.
You'll go head-to-head with Clary.
Yep.
And may the best man win. And Ryan's been raving about him being a chef for months. If he loses, he's going to be crestfallen. Because Darius has never once talked about
cooking. He's never gotten braggadocious.
Ryan sends us pictures of the latest, thing he made in a pan, just, turned up to hot, for 5 minutes.
Yelling at me about how much I sleep on it.
Every single night, he's like, look, I did a different thing out
of the
bag.
You guys sleep. You just ran out of seasoning.
Why do we sleep on everything?
It's chicken voila, man. You poured it out of a frozen bag and you put some spice on it.
It's not frozen. It's fresh.
Okay.
It's fresh.
Vegetables are frozen.
No, not anymore.
Wow.
No, I'm not besmirching Clary casserole.
It was actually pretty good.
It was very good. I would do Clary casserole anytime.
I'll eat it right now.
So we want to do Monday or probably Tuesday so no one forgets.
Tuesday.
Yep.
Let's tentatively line up Tuesday for the big cook-off between Darius and Ryan. So Darius won the stadium series. Ryan won the weather?
No. Ryan was gone and didn't do the weather.
But they've done
and
multiple.
Yeah, there was another contest we did. I forget what it was.
Because it wasn't because Ryan. Because I'm trying to remember it right. Ryan claimed to be the stadium guy. Darius kicked his ass.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then what else happened? Anything else happened?
He just wiped the floor with
and
him.
It wasn't close.
And one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to anyone.
Yeah, so Ryan had stadium guy ripped right away from him. Now what is it? I don't know what else Ryan had that Darius took from him.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've got those tickets we're going to be giving away as soon as we return in the next few minutes. Make sure you're listening right here for the Summer of Loud. I mean, a ton of great bands, including Parkway Drive, Killswitch Engage, Prevail, Beartooth, and others. So right here on the Fan, that's next. We're giving those away as soon as we return.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.